Hello, hello. Just doing a mic check. This is Kyle, or I guess I have three names: Kyle, Holy Macaroni, and Epoxec. So, if you're listening to this recording, as I say every week, just skip a few minutes ahead at a time until you kind of hear the conversation become fluid. This week's topic will be avoiding scammers and bad actors using my own personal thought process. So we'll walk through nine different stages or categories of this. And yeah, so we'll get started here shortly. I'll just go on mute, share this out, wait for some people to join, and then we'll get started in a little bit. So again, if you're listening to recording, skip ahead until you hear some stuff. What's up, driving tips? I'm gonna invite you up, man. You and two, Sam. I'm just getting started here. As you know. Okay. Here we go.
Hey,
Good evening. How are you, man?
I'm doing pretty well. Can't complain.
Yeah, that's great. Did you have a good weekend?
I did a decent amount of it getting ready for my younger son's birthday tomorrow.
Oh, well, happy birthday to your youngest son.
Yep. So, moving up in the
Cool.
world.
Are y'all having a having how old is he? Or maybe you don't want to say
Yeah.
that,
So, well, I mean, we'll have like a,
is he
yeah,
young?
he's pretty young, like toddler age, and so we'll have like a little get together. He kind of
Cool.
lucks out a little bit, right? Because like with a recent move, there's fewer people, but it's all good.
Awesome. Driving, how are you doing?
Great weekend to you all. Hope everything's well.
Too, man. All is great. All is great. We grilled up some ribs today and started the first day of rotating our horses back onto the pasture. Stuff like that. And I am tired, man. I am tired, but
Just
what can
holding
you
a day
do?
on a ranch.
Yeah.
Is it a lot of
Yeah.
physical effort rotating the horses, or I don't know how that works.
I don't know. Maybe not a lot of physical effort, I guess, because we have it, we have our hot wire going around the whole pasture, but then we have our temporary hot wire in between to segment it off, and it's easy to open it and let them through and stuff, but when you're first rotating them, it's very hard sometimes to get them to come back.
Yeah.
They're like, "Look, we're out here on the grass now."
Why would I
But
move?
yeah, why would I come back where there isn't grass? So yeah, man, my internet just went out. That's wonderful.
Oh no.
Yeah. Well, as long as my phone's still working, we can get through this. Yeah.
Right, your internet can go down.
You what?
The internet can go down. One easy attack vector.
Yeah.
That's like.
This is very true. This is very true,
That's
man.
a suspicious sign. They knocked you off to get you to reauthenticate. Careful.
Oh man. So, yeah. Well, kind of clustered right now because of that, but guess we can get started. When I first started doing this last month at this time, it seemed to work out for a lot of people, and there were a lot of people coming. I'm not sure if it's just because it's starting to become, summer out and maybe people are doing other things. I'm not really sure, but I really don't want to change the days or anything because this works really well to give me time to do the video, Sam, and the other stuff during the week and lead up to this, but
Yeah.
don't know.
Yeah, it, I mean
Well,
it's
I got the
a
notification.
Oh, good. You
You
did?
don't know, give it some time. Yeah, we'll hang out for a few minutes and get started or here in a little bit. Oh, well, I guess while we're waiting, a question for you guys. So I'm coming up with my next topics for next month, and I'll be doing three of them. I think, well, I guess I'm not sure yet because I could always change my mind tomorrow morning when I'm working on all of this, but I think I've narrowed it down to five possibilities. And I'm not sure about them though. The first one would be securing your cryptocurrency, right? I need to do some things crypto, blockchain specific. People talk about that thing all the time, but I don't think you can, talk about that enough. The other one is talking about cryptography and standards for efficient cryptography and how that technology is used within a blockchain, because everybody hears, blockchains and crypto, and they hear these terms, but I don't think anybody really understands like the usages and the purposes of them in the blockchain. Then another, I also thought about talking about specifically, I talk about password managers all the time, but I thought about having a dedicated week to that topic. Then, also because this kind of thing is very, my project is really trying to help out the mass amount of people. I also want to, I try to talk about very low level things too, anywhere from low level to kind of intermediate. So with that, the other topic I thought about is like walking through demoing how to, so people can have a better understanding of setting up their own antivirus and firewall stuff on their own systems at a very basic level. I'm not talking about going out and building your own firewall, right? Just basically walking through the general settings and what they do. Another, the fifth topic I'm debating is talking about security while you're traveling, right? That's a very broad topic, but there's a lot of things you could talk about in there. It's kind of what I've narrowed it down to so far, but there's also a lot of other topics that can be talked about. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, there's so much, and it's right, there's a huge range. Not to deviate too much, right, you're the honest broker when I start deviating too much. But I mean, it is one of those things that even for me, I think when I first like started getting into cybersecurity, because I mean it's in the name, right? Cyber security. Like automatically, it's like, oh, it's network security and application security, NetSec, AppSec, DevSecOps, secure coding. It's all like, immediately it's just like, okay, it's computer things. But it was interesting coming to find out, no, actually, like everything. Within reason, like, or to a degree, depending on what your role is, like everything security related falls into there. So even physical security, like plays a big part of it. And some of that's like loosely physical security. I mean, it is, but like, okay, you have your server room. How are you securing that, right? Access control physical access control. But it's other things too. Like, I mean, I've learned how to do like whole security diagrams for setting up like, where your cameras should be and security guards and rotations and, biometric versus whatever locks and all these other things. Like lock picking was one of the areas of study that I went through. It's really interesting. All that to bring back, I mean, traveling security or like security while traveling, while maybe that topic, I don't know how you envisioned it, wouldn't focus purely on just physical security, right? It probably involves a lot of other things, but I could see that being a fun topic and useful for a lot of people. I
That's
mean,
what I thought about that topic too. I definitely think I'll keep that one for this month then.
yep, absolutely. And because I mean there's so much to discuss from like some physical security aspects to public Wi-Fi, to I mean even what you shared and we've seen, which is kind of funny, that like the FBI, what was it, last week or roughly a week or two ago, they're like, oh my goodness, juice jacking. And it's like, how is this news? Like, we've known this for years, right?
I
I
actually
mean,
did like a quick short on that because I was like, hey,
yeah,
look,
I saw that.
Brian Krebs talked about this in 2011.
Right,
I
exactly.
mean, yeah.
No, I didn't mean to cut
Yeah.
you off, but yeah, I know
No, go ahead.
it was just funny to me because it's like, hey, welcome to the last decade of USB devices, FBI. But anyway,
Yeah.
but like those kind of topics would be really good on there. I mean, for me, and now I'm curious with driving tips, ask to save
Yeah.
too. I mean, I
Yeah.
would say I think absolutely password managers, is a great topic.
Okay.
Maybe pick a couple with different, not to like brand,
Yeah.
whatever, like hawk a specific brand, right? But I mean, you could do something like a Bitwarden. You could do something like Bitwarden, KeePass, and I don't know, like NordPass, 1Password, something, so
I
like
would
kind
like
of
to talk
different.
about Proton, right? But I don't think they really, they just kind of announced it, right? They haven't launched it.
So they've only just announced it. For those few people, but like, so if you're a visionary or a lifetime member, then those people, whoever they may be, like they have access to it. No, so I mean, so I have it. I'm a visionary, but like, so I have it, and I've been playing around with it. I gave them like a ton of feedback. I mentioned to someone, now I can't remember who, it might have been Skyfox, but like, I said I'll probably do like kind of a a high level overview of what I like about it in a little while. I mean, I could, well, I don't know. Anyway, I'll probably do a high level overview of it while it's in beta. This is just me. Like, I probably wouldn't say too much of like the bad things about it. Only because like it's in beta, right? That's not really fair. It's not a finished product. So I probably would just say things that I do like. Like I like that, they use bcrypt. I like that, there's a lot of things I like about it. Anyway, whatever. I won't turn this into the password manager, but I probably wouldn't include it in there only because it's not like a production ready tool. But I think that's a good one because you could do not just like a product review, at least how I would see it. You can design it how you want, but like I would see it as like how do you use a password manager in the most efficient way? Just because that's one of the things I've come across, like when I'm trying to encourage people to use password managers, is like you have to, one, you have to find one that integrates with your life. So like not everybody's going to go to like a KeePass, right? Some of those other like where you self-host your like you store your password inventory essentially, right? Your secret and like you do your own secret management and you just serve it through an open source product. I mean, that's great. I like that, but not everybody is gonna want to do that, right? That's gonna turn a lot of people off. Yeah, integrating it is really like the key. So
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, those are good ideas, Sam. Yeah, driving. What are your thoughts?
I like Sam's topics. Definitely, he's got unique angles and obviously likes to play with the tools. I'd like to see like procedural things. Usually, it's specific. Like I don't know, wallets are a big one. There's a lot of like weird info about wallets. People don't even know how the keys really work. I like how Sam's trying to integrate keys and just keep the topics going. I'm learning along the way, so I'm no expert. So keep it flowing. I'm all for Sam's topics. He's got a very good perspective on all of the subject, and you too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thanks, driving. Yeah, I'll keep those two topics out of the five for this month then, and I'll pick another one. The fourth week this month or in May, I won't be. I mean, I'll probably impromptu do a space or something in the middle of the week, but nothing scheduled because my wife will be out in town and I have to do all of her farm duties as well. But yeah, so we'll do three of those and I'll definitely do those two. That's awesome feedback. And welcome, Aloha. Thank you for joining. I know you join often too, so I appreciate your support and being here. Yeah, Aloha, you are welcome to hop up and be a part of the conversation as much as you would like. You're also welcome to listen as well, whatever you prefer. Okay, let's get into the topics then, because I do need to kind of be timely tonight because I don't know how often my wife is going to be okay with me saying I'll be on a space for an hour and an hour 50 minutes later, like eventually she's gonna be like, Kyle, come on. All right, so without further ado, the topic is, I've done a video on this week. I did a quick little segment on Cardano over coffee on this topic. The slides I've shared up top again. Much appreciation to Sam. He put these together for me. He watched my video, took the content and everything, and developed these slides. And I think they are very awesome and very good looking and perfect. I think they're great. But we're going to walk through these in each category and we'll just talk about a thought process, right? How do you, so agnostic to, there are, I work in, I work for a cybersecurity vendor. I've worked with all these different enterprises, and usually the general theme is the more solutions and products we can have, the better. And, whether it's on a personal level or on a team level or enterprise level, having solutions and products to help you is obviously a great idea, and you should have that. But I don't think that anybody will ever truly be secure until they have the until they can enable themselves with their own thought process to identify bad actors, malicious activity, and things like that, right? I say a lot of times, I can sit here and identify something without any other tool, right? At least on the surface, whether I'm, and what we'll talk about a lot is correlating information, but at least on the surface, I can take key things and build a correlating picture and make a decision. And oftentimes, if I revisit that thing, that decision is typically right. It's because there's a thought process, a developed thought process on picking these things out. A lot of these things might sound obvious, but if I think applying them all in the right way is not necessarily maybe the obvious part. So the first topic is Sam, putting you on the spot. I'm going to ask your thoughts on this a lot throughout this. Actually, driving, and actually, I'm going to ask all of your thoughts on this. Driving, Aloha, you dropped up, and Sam, because I've talked about this a lot this week, and I think it'll be a lot of value to other people to get maybe your thoughts and your perspectives and maybe your viewpoints. Nobody, no individual knows everything, right? So the first category, the tip number one, recognizing the signs. When I talked about this, I articulated it as this, right? It's having those things that I forget the term I used, but it's like the things that you can quickly identify, like immediately, right off the cuff, within seconds or moments or minutes, that will help you pick that, paint that correlating picture, say, hey, this is kind of this looks normal or this looks a little fishy, right? And I'll just read off the chart and then I'll turn it over to you guys to get all your input. Unsolicited communication. There's ver a whole lot of different examples and points to make with that. High pressure tactics, giving people the sense of urgency, the too good to be true offers, giveaways, wanting something up front before they give you that giveaway, not knowing who people are, some random people messaging you, different things like that. So I'm going to stick up to what I said and pause so I'm not the one talking about that and see what you all think.
I mean, that hits the nail on the head for me. Like, people are trying to
I
talk to
should have
me.
just said nothing.
Yeah. I mean, those are perfect bullet points. High pressure. Oh, do this. Oh, gonna miss this pump. Yeah. Like, giveaways. Let me jump in line, right? Let me get signed up to give you money. Great tactic, right? Inbox stuff that you didn't ask for to be true. That's definitely a huge one for me, right? I think a lot of these are good. Keep going.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, I would say with driving kids that, right? You said most of it, which is fine, right? That's good. But I mean, but they are, right? They're classic things. I mean, and as with a lot of, I would tie it in with like it's social engineering in some way, right? And we talked about this, what was it, 2 weeks ago, right? In pretty good depth. So if you are listening to this or here, have Aloha and but like, and you didn't catch that one, I would go back and I would listen to the one on scams, right? Because we do talk a lot about this, like the psychology of why these are designed the way they are, right? It's like, especially in crypto, when you talk about the high pressure of it's got to be right now, right? Mixed with like too good to be true, right? Hey, we've got, this new thing, this new coin, this new cryptocurrency token or whatever that's coming out, right? And it's about to be released. If you want to get in, you got to get in on the floor, because once it goes public, right, you're going to be buying at a higher level, right? And people see like tokens get released, they skyrocket. Historically, they kind of come down usually 3 to 6 months, they kind of level out and then they go back up. But anyway, but like there is a lot of that pressure, right? Get in cheap, and try to make a big buck or whatever, right? And so it does, it gets you drawn into that.
Yeah, that's a very good explanation on that topic, Sam. Aloha, I see you actually made it up this time and were able to speak without getting kicked out. Welcome to the space. Do you have anything to share on that before we move on? or you just would like to jump in whenever you're comfortable to.
Sure, I'll jump in whenever I'm comfortable. A couple of things that piqued my interest were the Proton password manager. I'm a huge KeePass fan, been using it for, I don't know, 10 plus years. One of the tricks I use is not putting my whole password in there. I either salt it or I just leave off part of it. But
That's a good tip.
I love listening to your Twitter spaces, and I've been in IT, I don't know, 20 years, maybe the last 5 or 6, with a little bit of IT security, and just enjoy tagging along and listening, and maybe provide some input when I can.
Awesome, Aloha. Well, thank you for that. And yeah, seriously, that was a very cool tip about that. Yeah, I like KeePass XE locally managed. Bitwarden's cool too. You can locally manage it, but if you're not technical, it's hard to do that, right? And then Proton's interesting. Anyway, yeah, absolutely. So moving on to the next topic, I'm just going to read the title of this one and not say anything, so you all actually, say what comes to mind. So the next tip I always have and I focus on after my initial sign identification, if you will, is trust but verify. When you guys hear that, what do you think of?
Yeah, like check the contact info, make sure it's legit, right?
Yeah. And you could kind of word it more like don't trust, verify. A lot of people like to say that nowadays too, but I think it was Reagan or somebody that coined that phrase, so I like to use it. Yeah. Sam, what do you think of when you hear trust but verify?
Yeah, I mean, so what Driving Tip said, right, is true. I mean, so you. I forget who it was now, if it was, I can't remember now. There was some account that followed me, and I was like, oh, that's cool. Okay, they followed me, right? And I just looked at the name, and it was somebody I knew, right? But then I looked at it and I was like, oh, okay, this is, oh, no, that's what it was. It was Miss Teen Crypto, and she has interesting perspectives or whatever, but she was already following me. So it was, at first it was like, it was confusing, but it was like, oh, okay, she followed me. Like maybe she ha accidentally unfollowed me. And then when I looked at it, I was like, oh, okay, right. It's not, there's a different, there's an extra character or underscore or something, whatever it was. Right. And it took me a pretty quick moment to do that. But so to the nature of this week's topic, right? So the initial thing was, it was like, okay, I know the name, right? That was displayed. And so it was like, okay, cool. But then I had to take a time, but wait, why? Right? One, like I already knew she was following me. So why was she following me again? And so that's like, kind of red flag number one. And then I started digging into the exact, okay, what's the name, and go from there. And that's kind of like a basic thing, but for the mindset, it is like, why is this person following me, right? Over the last couple of days, I've seen a couple of pictures about, people, like there's someone on Discord, I think it is, with Charles Hoskinson, right? The picture, his name, and whatever. It was, trying to like friend people or connect with people, those kind of things. Yeah, it's if somebody is connecting, right, do some due diligence of like pausing to say, okay, as exciting as it is that some, big name person might be following you or starting a conversation, in your DMs with you or whatever the case may be, right, some pause of, is it legitimate, right? And not like it always has to be the disbelief of, well, why would they follow me, right? But just make sure, is that really who they say they are? And then, yeah, I mean, for the rest of the things you have on there is, even if the account more or less somewhat checks out, right, for any interaction, it's especially if it's like going back to, the tip one, of recognizing the signs, but like if they're talking about a project or an opportunity or a new tech or whatever, right? it's understanding, well, what is this, right? And just doing some additional thing of, does anyone else that I know, we'll save that one for a little bit more. This has to credibility, but like, does anyone else that I follow this person or interact with them, right? Does anyone else know this person, or are they just coming out of the blue with something? And it isn't necessarily that if nobody knows them, that they're automatically, you know, fake or malicious. But that would definitely be a much higher red flag. You know, if nobody I know, follows them, interacts with them, has talked about it, right? It definitely is going to cause me, my mindset is going to be, okay, I have to work a lot harder to prove that this is legitimate, versus, you know, like if somebody trusted like Macaroni, right? It's like, hey, you know, have you heard about this new project, right? If I know him, right, I've verified that that's where he's going, you know, that's the right account. But like, but if I know you and you're telling me, hey, you know, check this thing out, right? I may have an amber flag instead of a red flag, and just like, okay, you know, let me go check it out and see what it's about.
Yeah. That's absolutely right, Sam. And that made me think of a couple other things to mention too, because I do exactly what you do, right? You know, one thing is I have people, I mean, I probably have five to 10 different accounts a day trying to follow my EpochSec account, right? I get why they're doing it. but they're usually like .eth accounts or something. And I'll go look at it and I'll see, well, there are three people in the Cardano community following them. I'm like, okay, but that's a little low. Then I'll say, okay, well, let me look at, you know, what they have. And then I might see, you know, there are a lot of different examples I can give, but one example, I might see that they only have like, you know, maybe they have 1500 tweets, and so their account's a few years old, which, by the way, people do buy old accounts to use them for malicious activity. So keep that in mind, everybody. So just the age of the account doesn't mean anything. But then I'll look at that. Then I'll say, then I might notice that they advertised some project recently. So I'll go look at that project's website. Then I'll notice maybe that project isn't, you know, maybe that person isn't following that project account, or I'll notice that project account was created a week ago and has 19 tweets and doesn't really sit well with me, for all kinds of different reasons. Other things that will happen. Let me see if I can get my train of thought back here. You know, that's one kind of scenario, right? And that's kind of like basically what Sam was saying in his own words, and just some additional thoughts from me. But another thing is, you know, if someone legitimate does follow me, I'm not going to mention the person's name, and I don't even think they're active in the community anymore, but there used to be a person that I knew like probably a handful of months ago, and this person was very knowledgeable in the security space as well. They kind of did their own gray hat hacking stuff, if you will, you know, so they kind of were along a different path than I was. But I thought that was interesting, so I spoke to them for a while, and what I did with this person, what I do with everybody that is new to me, Charles Hoskins, it doesn't matter who it is, I always ease myself into that relationship, into that building that friendship or that trust and everything, right? Because, you know, taking that anonymous person I'm talking about, you know, at first, you know, when I first found out who they were, I would look at their last week's tweets and how they communicated and stuff, and everything seemed very kosher. They seemed very professional and very knowledgeable, sharing things I didn't even know about. I'm like, oh, this person would be really great. Let's see if I can work with them somehow. Well, time went on, and I started noticing that this person spoke, you know, communicated in a way that I felt was very aggressive and not fair to people, and very belligerent. And this became started being a thing. So I looked further back through their tweet history one day, and I noticed, you know, months ago they were just saying things that were just like, you know, this is not somebody I would want to be associated with, right? And And what I'm pointing out here, though, is because you'd really, even if it is somebody legitimate, it's not a fake account, you know, it's just a person, it's a real person. Well, you should always ease yourself into that, too, because, you know, on the surface of it, it may not be what it is. It may not, it may seem to be something that it isn't, right? So even if that's not malicious, it's still something to be careful of, and because you need to, you know, getting away from the security thing of for a moment, you know, you have to decide what you want to be associated with and not, right? Yeah, well, I got a little long-winded with that one.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I wouldn't jump on the bandwagon always. If everybody likes someone, it doesn't mean they're good for what you're trying to do, right? And whatever is a scam or is not a scam is like, what is the person reaching out to me for? Like if they're following driving tips for driving tips, that's great. Like if they're following driving tips to troll tips or something, like, you know, it's a whole different story, right? You have malicious actors and you have people that are just trying to have fun and you have people who are trying to learn and stuff, but like you never know what you're going to get yourself into, right? So, you know, proceed with caution. But like if you're just giving an easy tip, it's no big deal. But when people, you know, are trusting you to fix their car, it's a little different, right? You'd only go to a good mechanic to fix the car. If this guy's fixed it before, well, he'd have a track record. Let's check it out, right? Oh, they do work on those cars. Okay, all right. I see he has a shop. That's really great, right? And then you would actually do business with that person, right? You trust, but verify. Like, this person does do it, right? But, yeah, that's just my two cents. What up, Dean?
It's very true. What's up? Whoa, wow. Dean's in here. I'll invite you up, man. We don't have a lot of people in here, obviously. If you'd like to hop up, go ahead.
The Dean, the myth, the legend.
He's been asking everything. So Dean cuts
the real Dean.
Are we sure?
Yeah, well, no.
Trust me, verify.
To be fair. Oh, man, that's funny. Yeah, okay, so the next topic. This is basically kind of what we already talked about, is just kind of the more in-depth phase. So the researching and the gathering info. So you've already done your initial warning sign part, your initial verifying they are who they say they are, that kind of stuff, right? And now you're getting into the phase where, you know, you're doing that research and information gathering. And this is something you start from the very beginning and you do out throughout the entire life cycle of your involvement or interest in whatever that thing is, right? You know, in my conversations throughout the week, I talked a lot about some examples around, you know, obviously you're doing your research to decide if you're going to get interested or involved into some project or thing or whatever it is, but that project is going to evolve and develop over time as well, right? What if they release a new version that you don't agree with or has a lot of bugs and kind of puts mud on the project's face? Or what if they get compromised themselves, right? What if they create partnerships with other projects you don't agree with? Or, you know, there's a lot of different examples of pointing out, like, you know, your researching and gathering doesn't stop after your initial research and project launch, right? It's all the way throughout your entire, you know, duration of your decision to be involved in whatever that thing is. I'll pause there and see what you guys think about that topic.
Yeah, I think a great example might be like Wab.eth and his seals.
Yeah. I have nothing. Actually, I don't. Yeah, I've never gotten anything from them. But.
Well, is it going to be adaptable and evolve and stay present, right? And some of the best things do go back and come and go, and there's fads, right? So I don't know. It depends what you're labeling it as.
Yeah. And look, this is all an individual decision, right? All the time, right? It's just, you know, the most important thing to take away from this part is having all of that information and continuously making a concerted effort to get that knowledge and information so that you can make that decision for yourself, right? Yeah, so that one's pretty straightforward. Let's move over to the next topic. And also, Dean, I'm not sure if I said it, but welcome to the space, sir. Also, Drop-In, welcome to the space. You are welcome. This is, we don't have a lot of people in here tonight. Drop-In, you're welcome to hop up and participate in the conversation if you would like. We're going to be here about another 20, 30 minutes. I said that last week when we were here for another hour, but you're welcome to hop up if you'd like. Okay, so the next topic is, oh man, let me get it back up. So assessing the credibility. So I'll just have an opening statement about this. Assessing the credibility applies to the thing that you are interested in or looking into, but it also applies to the things that you are using to look into that thing. So I try to just be as general as I can. Sam, what do you got on that one?
Yeah, so one of the things that I learned many, many years ago, and I still keep it to this day, is to frame anything that is your money, your life, so YM or YL, if it's so if it involves your money, your life, then the level of scrutiny or the desired level of credibility on that thing is, infinitely higher than if it's whatever, just an interest, a hobby, right? But it doesn't affect your money or life. So for me, that's one of the big things that I look for, right? I just categorize things in that way, and if it falls into one of those categories of, again, your money or your life, then I go way above to make sure that whatever it is credible, is legitimate, right? Following, all of the other tips in here, and even as you described it in your video, right? Like this is you're doing this along the whole path, right? Even just from recognizing the signs, the moment of first contact, right? Whether that's they're contacting you or you stumble across a thing, right? But like this is a continual process throughout whatever. But anyway, yeah, but if it's your money or life, like automatically that is higher. And there are a lot of ways that you can do it. I meant to share a few and I forgot to open the website to link them, but I may drop them into the chat underneath just to share it as other people are talking, or maybe after it closes, so I can find them all and put them here. But yeah, that's kind of it, right?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Yeah. Also, for the couple of people that joined, I should have already done this, so I'm not repeating myself, but this space is my security space, and we're just talking about a thought process, agnostic to any tools and resources and things you can use out there, just a kind of a 9-tip thought process on identifying scams, malicious activity, bad actors, and that kind of thing. Okay, next
Well, I like to
topic.
go
Go
like
ahead,
straight
man.
to the source. So like if I'm interested in the token, like the Dean token, and I think it's a rug or not, I would first ask Dean and be like, Dean, is this your token? Does it support you? Then I'm down. I'm in. But if it's somebody trying to scam Dean, then Dean would come out and say it and tell me, oh, this is not my token. Let me verify for you. This is my Policy ID. This is my real token, right? This is my token. So then I am supporting the real Dean, right? Then I know it's not a scam, right? I would trust and verify and I'd ask Dean himself, right? Or I would try to, like, hey, everybody, you know that Dean token? Do you have the right policy? Do you have any tokens? Let me go get the right tokens. Like, if you are trying to trust it in a project or a token or a thing, right? You want to know it's the right thing. And you can get scammed that way real easy, like clicking the wrong buttons and stuff.
Absolutely, man. Go to the source, right? I mean, you said a lot more of that to that, but that was one thing, yeah, that stood out to me. And that is just, yeah, always go to the source for something as well, right? Even if your best friends and something I say repetitively, even if your best friend sends you some link or thing, do not trust your best friend. Go find the source and find it yourself. You do not know that your best friend did not get compromised, right? You know, if you do not know that without a doubt, then go to the source, right? I guess this kind of leads us into the next one, actually. Actually, one thing, just to clarify on something I said in the very beginning too about assessing credibility, a key point in this part of your thought process, like I said, right, is verifying the credibility of the sources you're getting information from, to build trust or lose trust or whatever in the thing you're researching. If you're looking at, look at source A, source B, source C, source D, E, F, and G, and, to help validate, verify, or lose credibility in source A or source E or whatever, right? So you can paint a better picture. Don't just ever rely on one thing. So the next topic, scrutinizing links and URLs. This sounds a little bit specific, but I guess a better way to put this part or phrase this is be careful on anything any links or pointers or anything you get in any kind of platform, right? Your email, if you see some link on some website that leads you somewhere else, if you get a message on whatever social media platform. A good tip that Sam actually put in the slide here for this one is also be wary of your shortened links, right? Bit.ly, goo.gl, that kind of thing. Hover over your links. A lot of times, I mean, I could create a link right now with a hyperlink that says, and I should probably think of a better example, but Bob's Hardware Service. But if you hover over the link, maybe it's N Nancy's Malicious Service, right? So just be very cautious, cognizant, and slow down. Don't just click on links, right? Yeah, I could talk about that. I'll just pause and see what you guys think about that subject. If you had some other tips to share on that.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm gonna share one down here in the comments. So this is a pretty good link unshortener, and so yeah, if you get those short links, and Google, so Google did stop doing their link shorteners, and now they do it through another. It's through a Firebase link shortener. So just FYI, but they're still maintaining, like, any that were created on their goo.gl link shortener site. But yeah, Bitly, Owly, there's a lot. I mean, there's a decent amount out here, like even Twitter, Reddit, Discord. Well, I think Discord converts it to like their own servers. But yeah, anyway, when you get those, yeah, take your time and look at it. I could go on a lot about how so many malicious links are, like, you take advantage of this. But what I will say on it, as kind of a shorter way of saying it, is keep in mind, if you were here or listened, I think it was now 3 weeks ago when we did our crypto scam, or when you had your crypto scam session, right? One of the things I mentioned is, keep in mind that on mobile devices, you're far more vulnerable to any kind of malicious act, really. And there's studies out there. One recent that I remember seeing was you're like 18 times more likely to click on a malicious link on a mobile device than you are on a desktop. And a lot of it is screen size. Can you see the whole thing and what it's actually doing? Are there any special queries or redirects appended to the end of the link? So I would maybe summarize that as be very careful when it's a shortened link, maybe ever, but especially if it's from a source you don't reasonably know. And then if it's on your phone, just do be even more careful. Just keep it in mind that, right, you're working with a smaller landscape of what you can see, visual aspect. And so maybe if it's on your mobile device, be even more careful in that case. And if it falls into your money or life, I feel like I'm going to say that a couple more times today. But like, but if it's your money, your life, maybe wait if you can until you can get to, you know, a laptop, desktop to see a little bit better what you're doing with an email and the links in it or whatever. Unless you can do it through, you know, like a proprietary mobile device, right? We talked about it, I think it was last week, right? About like my bank. Even for me, when I get an email or something from a bank, from my bank, right, I will almost always enter the URL myself, like not click the link, but I'll go to what I know from a bookmark, or I'll do it on the mobile app or something like that, a little more trustworthy.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Does anybody else have anything on that before we move on?
Yeah, don't click anything. I think it's important to know where you're at when you're clicking stuff too sometimes, because like even inside of wallets, you can be faked links all the time too. Like you're saying, you could just be clicking on stuff you don't know. Sam, thanks for sharing that. That's a cool uncover little thing there. And definitely don't click nothing that you don't verify. I found Twitter to be the best source for raw links to websites, at least in my opinion, but I could be directed otherwise.
Another good precaution is to open in an incognito tab.
Yeah, and what that does, just is super brief, is like, so when you open it in incognito, it sandboxes whatever that's going to do against everything else. So that is why opening it in an incognito is useful. The potential risk of, you know, like cross-site scripting or cross-site request forgery or many other things that might happen if you open it in an incognito, it softens some of whatever that payload would be on a malicious link. That's a great tip. Aloha.
You guys are just killing it with the advice tonight. Thank you. The next one, this is, I've heard myself say this like 50 times this week, so I feel like I'm just being repetitive, but guarding your personal information. I think this is it's awesome that there are so many people out there trying to advise people, guide people, spread awareness, coach people along how to be safe online. But I think one thing very often overlooked is focusing on guarding your personal information. Oftentimes I see people are very willing to, you know, give some personal information about themselves, their name, phone number, address, whatever it is, right? Any of their personal identifiable information. When a bad actor messages you and asks, you know, say, you know, I think some of the examples, a good common one is your bank, right? They message you and say, or email you and say, hey, there's, you know, this problem with your account. We need your login information. First of all, that's just ridiculous. Nobody ever needs your login information for any reason whatsoever, right? Let's just clear the air there. The next thing is, you know, if they ask for your account information, maybe your checking account number and something else. Well, the bank obviously already has that information, right? Why would they be asking for that? I think it's very prudent for people to be very careful on sharing any information that they're not comfortable with doing. People are very quick to share that information. Another thing about that is, another thing I talked about as an example around sharing that kind of information is, two examples, you know, being in cryptocurrency, or maybe you're into basket weaving, or maybe you're into surfing, or whatever you are into. It's not okay to tell people those things, like what are your personal interests, right? Or something about your personality or hobbies or whatever. But just keep in mind that bad actors can use that inf the more that they know about you, the more that they can use that information to fish and socially engineer you, right? They know now, if you're into hobby whatever, then they can, then they can attempt to relate to you on that whatever hobby, right? To begin trying to socially engineer you. So, it's not just not sharing your banking information or your address or your full name or your social security number. It's also being careful on and aware of the risk in sharing your own personal interests and stuff like that. Again, not saying it's a bad thing to do that. It's just at least at a minimum, an awareness item on, the effects of that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would really maybe add two things to this. One is cautionary, and one is just, realism. And so the cautionary one is, I remember, and I will maybe I'll try to find it because it was a really fascinating case study of this. But there was a study that we went through, when I was in college, and it was talking about information security and OSINT, which is one of my hobbies. I have never done that professionally, OSINT at least, but it's super fascinating. Anyway, but they walked through how this engineer for a particular technology company was essentially social tracked, like OSINT style, to get all this information. And what's interesting is, like, through the case study, he never revealed in one location anything in totality, right? Like his total life. It was all compartmentalized. But through the power of social media and the internet, right, they were able to put all these things together, determine, who he really was, where he lived, like down to his address. And all this other stuff over the course of, I mean, it was a fairly long interaction with these bad actors, right? And but they were able to build a profile on him, and then a whole thing, So it was very, very unpleasant to like go through and read it because you're like, wow, okay, this is crazy. And anecdotally, right, I remember a couple years ago, a lady I worked with, she was like, well, I have no digital footprint. She was so proud of it, right? Like, they would never find me. And I was like, oh, okay. And for everyone out there, like, this probably isn't the best thing to do. It does not make people comfortable. So I went in, and all I did was I just typed like limited information that maybe I would know of her if I didn't know her like I did, but into Spokio, and I was like, is this you? And it came back, right? If you've never put your own name into Spokio, it's scary.
Yeah, it is.
And you can ask them to remove it, right? And anyway, but so but yeah, but like anyway, it was a real eye-opener for her. I kind of felt bad afterwards because I was like, oh man, I probably just scared the crap out of her. But the realistic side, I would say too, is, like Macaroni's saying, like, be very careful what you share. And it isn't that you can't share, like he was saying, right, your hobbies or whatever, but just definitely be aware of what you are sharing and what that's revealing, to anybody, because it may not be to the intended audience, right? Everybody, depending on the setting, everybody can see that. And so just kind of keep that in your mind, right? But yeah, I would say generally any PII, that you don't intend for everybody to know, keep safe. Don't pull the, what was that guy? The life lock, where he's like, here's my social security number on a billboard that I'm driving around all these cities. But
Yeah. Sam, another thing to mention real quick too, just another example, speaking of Spokio, is if there's a registered business and if you're listed on there as a director or anything like that, typically your public information is available on that, right? Your name, your address, and stuff like that, right? For, legal business reasons, right? But, like Sam said, I mean, you could go look up Spokio or look if you have a registered business, or you could go to Have I Been Pawned and look up your number and stuff like that and see what's been exposed. I guess that's completely unrelated, but I don't know. It just came to mind. But yeah, what is the next topic? I have lost my list here because I'm outside drinking some whiskey, sitting next to my Can-Am, just hanging out.
So
Yeah,
it's maintaining a skeptical mindset
I would
flows right in.
actually be very interested in what you think about that because, I always tell people, I'll just summarize it like this. I would rather hurt someone's feel I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings, but I'm more okay with hurting somebody's feelings than I am being too relaxing or forgiving in my trust, right? I'm going to always be skeptical 100% of the time. Not fully skeptical, right? Whatever comfortable level of skepticism is right for you, then practice that, right? But I'll just pause there and see what you guys think.
I'll go real quick and then, yeah, I mean, I'm curious, driving tip, what he has as well. But like, I would liken this, and I say this kind of in a lot of different ways, or even like with what I said with the PII, right, is like you have to determine kind of what the level you're willing to go on it is. And so it could be like low key skepticism. If you just generally, maybe periodically, maybe when it's your money, your life, right? You have more skepticism, but for other things, you're a little more willing to accept or take things for granted to some degree. But it is helpful to remember, right? I mean, there's people out there for whatever reason, whether it's kind of like what Macaroni said earlier that with this unknown person, right, in their interaction, like, okay, it probably they didn't mean anything malicious, perhaps, or at least not in like they're going to try to, rob him of cryptocurrency or whatever. But just generally, like, yeah, they're not somebody I would want to be a part of or be associated with, right? It could be something along that lines versus, yeah, they're trying to, get my seed phrase. Take my crypto or find out where I live or other things like that. But find the level of skepticism that you can live with and maintain. Macaroni and I have joked about this, as well. And I've joked about this with other people, but like sometimes when you're, like when you've been in cyber security for a while, like you almost feel like a conspiracy theorist with the information at your disposal, right? And knowing how to apply that in a way that doesn't just make you sound like a crazy person, that's the skill. But not everybody has to maintain that level of skepticism on everything, but find what is comfortable for you and what you can manage to try to keep yourself safe. But I probably would also say don't veer so much on the side of like, yeah, I'll just, have no worries, no cares at all. Some level of amped up is good. Last super quick thing, the driving tip, whatever you've got, right? In the military, there's a lot of focus when I was in there, right, of training intensity. And they would describe it as this, from like green to black, this scale, this needle would fly somewhere on that scale, right? Like a gas tank. Needle, right? And so, you have like green being like you're so relaxed, there's no worries, you're not ready to like engage or whatever, right? And then you have amber where like you're starting to get involved or whatever, but you're still not fully there. And then you get into the red where you're like amped up, right? But you're starting to lose a little bit of that precision focus, but you can still execute. And then you go into black, where it's just like you're just so amped up and wound up that you can't focus, right? You're not making the right decisions. And I would liken that in the skeptical mindset, right? Figure out where in that spectrum you can exist without sacrificing your mental health. And if that's somewhere like right on the cusp of like green to amber, then just do that, right? Because, you know, if you start losing focus or the ability to react because you're just amped up, so skeptical and so anxious about, you know, you're going to get hacked at every corner, then that's going to detract from the overall thing. Okay, sorry, that was longer than I meant to. Driving hit tips.
That's okay. It was very helpful. Driving?
Hey, well, I would say, like, driving in the rain, right, you're going to proceed with a little extra caution, right? So you want to be skeptical, not only in the rain of, like, just your line, but everybody's line. They might hit something unintentional. So just important, you know, in safety, basically, you're hitting on good points there. This is about how much risk you're comfortable, like if your family, life, and health, getting in this car when it's pouring out, you're going to be a little bit more precautious. So, like, just, you know, skeptical is good, because you'll bring extra risk factors to minimum, right? I got good tires. Okay, I'm a little better off, right? So bring your best A game. So be defensive, especially if there's other, you know, I'm going to go with weather this time, but it could be any actor or thing on the road.
Yeah, that's a good point, driving. And that brings up two concepts we in security we typically share with people to facilitate conversations. That would be, you know, your security versus availability, right? How secure do you want to be versus how available or easy access do you want things to be? Also, your risk tolerance, right? You mentioned that, right? That is literally an individual decision. What is the risk tolerance level you are willing to accept, right? That's always a challenge when I'm working with enterprise customers too, because they always want to know exactly what they need to do. And I'm like, you know, I mean, then I kind of have to steer the conversation to, we could do all of these things, and here are all the pros and cons of everything that I've talked about, but it is a business decision that you need to make because you are accountable for that decision. And that applies to the individual level as well, right? You as an individual are accountable for the decisions that you make on security versus availability and risk tolerance level, right? Not to sound so serious with that. I need to learn how to be more fun when I talk. I'm always a little bit serious, but I take this stuff very seriously.
it is serious. Like, if you're going to put your family's history online, right, and put your whole pictures on Facebook and stuff, you're exposing a level of risk, right, to you and your family, right? But if you want to maintain security in that, maybe you won't post everything, right?
Indeed. That's absolutely true, Darwin. Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, John, welcome to the space, man. You're welcome to hop up and be a part of the conversation if you like. We probably won't be here a whole lot longer, but you're more than willing to hop up. But yeah, thanks for joining anyway, John. Okay, and I won't, you know, request to speak if you'd like. I'm not going to bug you. Okay, so the last two tips, I'll jump to the last tip because we've already talked about that. This isn't really a part of my thought process, but it's something I always like to throw in, and we've already talked about that in depth in the beginning of the call, and that's using strong passwords and password managers and stuff like that. So I always suggest, you know, in the video I shared a little chart that can kind of articulate the benefits of having secure passwords, how long it typically takes a bad actor to brute force a password, right? And I think, you know, once you get up to 12 characters, like for a specific example, you get up to 12 characters with an uppercase, lowercase, a symbol, and a number at a minimum, then you start getting up into the thousands of years that it would take someone to brute force because of the computational cost of doing something like that. And sorry if it's windy, if you hear that, my apologies. And then password managers. I'm not going to get back into that. We've already talked about that a lot, and that'll be a topic we talk about in May. But then also, you know, I talk about two-factor authentication a lot. Not just having, it doesn't matter, you know, in certain regards, you know, that super, super duper secure password you have could still be compromised. Let's look at the LastPass compromise recently. And there's a lot of, I could spend all night long talking about data breach examples, just like in the last year, where a lot of your information was compromised and wasn't necessarily encrypted and maintained by that company in the way that they said they maintained it, right? So that information could be exposed and you could still be compromised. So using an additional layer of authentication, if you're, Twitter, for example, you log in with a password into Twitter. Well, you want a second way of auth your password is your first authentication. You want a second way, right? Whether it's an authenticator application or a security key, a physical security key, something like that. So those are that 3-point recap on that one. And then going backwards to the actual last tip of the thought process is something we've kind of already talked about, but it's educating yourself and staying informed. Always being informed of the different types of frauds and threats and activities out there. Someone asked me, and I'll just articulate this point in an example. Someone asked me in a space recently, shouldn't I be aware of the new threats? And this isn't exactly how they said it, to be fair to them, but it came across as, I should be worried about the new threats and not really the past threats. In all actuality, the past and historical threats are just as important because a lot of times, take the good old phrase, those who choose to ignore history are doomed to repeat it, right? Bad actors are they very commonly rehash old attack methods, right? So they'll use an attack method for some duration of time, 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years. And then as it becomes more caught on to and less effective, they'll put that to the side and move over to a different attack vector or attack method. Then they'll go back to that old attack method once it's kind of less left the forefront of people's minds and that kind of thing, right? So that's kind of how I describe that part and articulate it. There's a lot I could say on there that I already have, but I'll pause and see what driving or Sam or anybody else or Aloha or anybody else has to say on that topic.
Yeah, well, I'll go next. So, I mean, there's so much out there, but for the sake of time, I mean, no, you're absolutely right. It's like, yes, there are new instances of threats, right? And when you talk about like 0 days, okay, yeah, I got it, right? 0 days are vulnerabilities, bugs, but they're vulnerabilities that have been exposed. Or exploited that we didn't know about before. So that's technically new. But it also, in a practical sense, like a very generalized way, right? It's hard to protect against a 0 day because, largely it's you don't know, right? You don't know what that is. And that's a very generalized thing. I'm not saying like don't care about 0 days, but what I will say to what Macaroni said, right, is like, just think of it's 2023 and we're still talking about cross-site scripting, right? Like, let that sink in that we've known cross-site scripting or cross-site request forgeries and some of these other like web application vulnerabilities. We've known of them for 20 years, like SQL injection, right? I think if I remember correctly, the first kind of time that we saw SQL injection was in like 90, like late 90s, right? As the internet was still like barely coming into, widespread popularity. So 20, 25 years later, we still have these same concerns. So like absolutely what Macaroni is saying, like, yes, being aware of the current in the wild exploits being seen can be valuable, but just understanding how some of these scams are perpetuated in a broad sense historically helps you to be, I think, a lot more aware of it. And I would, in some way, I would argue that unless it's your job to know and track new vulnerabilities and exploits or bugs or whatever, you're probably gonna rack just, you're just gonna rack your brain trying to keep track of them. And so I think having that historical basis serves you you know, whatever, 100 times better than just trying to keep track of every single, you know, new log4 shell or anything coming out. Or log, yeah, and log4j. But yeah, so like, anyway, but that's kind of my thing on it. I think there is one other element to it. I was just going to say last thing was, I mean, even not just only on vulnerabilities, but if your thing is like you're interested in DeFi or NFTs with utilities or whatever, right? Even just knowing about things in that domain, like just keeping kind of abreast of DeFi related topics, can help you to be informed when a new thing that you don't know anything about, you know, is presented to you, let's say with DeFi, right, that might pique your curiosity. Well, if you're already following news about different, you know, DeFi or whatever the topic is, right, because you already understand the subject and you're keeping abreast of the topics, like the news and what's going on with it. So when you're presented with something completely new in an instance, right, it's not like the topic is new to you. You already kind of understand it. And can digest what that means and how to go about assessing its credibility a lot faster, right? So it doesn't only have to be like you're just keeping track of cybersecurity vulnerabilities. That might be what Macaroni and I are focused on, but that may not be what everybody is going to focus all their time. Now, I did, you know, in the slides, it was that one thing, like probably at least some of your study should be on vulnerability specific. Even if that's not your domain, but okay, that's what I'll say, and then I'll pass it over.
That's a good point, Sam. I mean, look, even being in this space, it's damn near impossible to keep abreast of all of the new 0 days and vulnerabilities and everything out there. There's just so many of them, right? Driving, I'll see what you have to think, but John, welcome up speaking, man. Driving, real quick, what do you have? And we'll turn it over to John.
Yeah, I'll turn it over to John in a second. You know, you could look both ways all the time, right? And then still get hit by the bus coming the other direction, right? You didn't expect that one. You see it in like the blooper videos all the time. And welcome, John. Good to see you, brother. How are you? Nice. Drive safe, sir. And,
Man, working on a Sunday. Well, yeah, definitely drive safe, and thank you for being up here, John. Yeah, did you have anything to share?
Not like I can think of. Just tuning in.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you for being here. I appreciate it a lot. I hope this is helpful. Driving, I love your analogies, man. The driving in the rain thing, the looking one way and get hit by a bus, those are great.
I got vicariously affected with like rug pulls, but in exploits, bridge exploits per se, right? I'm not even involved, but it still hit me, right? And I wasn't even expecting. I was in the safest spot I could be, right? Nope, still got nailed, right? You never know what side people thought that would like Terra Luna, right? You never know which side the coin you can get hit on. You could have been in the safest places and still got wrecked, right? So be careful out there.
That's a good point, actually. It and all the things that we talk about in being secure, you know, you could be as secure as you possibly can be, but it's important. It's an important reminder. Everybody's still very susceptible to getting compromised. I mean, I'm susceptible to it, right? And I work in the field, right? But yeah.
Yep.
Well, I don't
lose all their money like you lost too, right? So like everybody's vulnerable, even the big guys, you know?
Yeah, you're vulnerable by proxy, right?
100%. But thank you for your time tonight. Appreciate the info as always. You guys are awesome. Thanks, Sam. Great insights. Good train of thought process of going through, and definitely like to see it in action.
Yeah, man. Thank you very much, driving, for being up here. Thank you for everybody being up here. Sam, thank you as always for your support and help and experiences and thoughts. Do you guys have any closing thoughts before we close up shop tonight?
Again, as always, I appreciate you having me up here, so I can kind of speak my piece though. But I did have a quick question for, and I know it's kind of a smaller crowd, but like the slides and sending those out as pictures ahead of time, and I've been sharing some of them up. Like, is any of that, is it helpful? Is it not? Like, how would the people who are in here, John, I don't know if you have looked at them, driving tips, if you saw them and like, was it, okay, that's kind of cool, a neat way to visualize it versus only the YouTube videos or only the spaces, depending on which all you ingest, but is it helpful or not? Yay, nay, kind of indifferent.
I think it was worthwhile, Sam. I liked it. I think the more engagement you get with it, try to get some feedback, maybe a week before, on the topic a little bit, and it'll give you some examples to work off of.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
Cool. Yeah, thank you for that feedback. Yeah, I really like those slides actually, and I need to get better at being more. Prompt, or I guess preemptive with the topics. Like, I haven't even started the top. I mean, I have the topic for next week, but tomorrow is when I'll start it. But with so much going on, it's really hard for me to do them weeks in or a week in advance or anything like that. And then, Sam did these slides for me last week, and I don't want to crunch and do them in the next day, so that's kind of on me. But yeah, that's great advice. All right. Well, thank you everybody for being here again. I hope the most important thing is I hope you have a great rest of your Sunday, a great start to your week next week, and we'll talk next week.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. Take care. Be safe.
You too. See you guys.